good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host today, Wendy Pilot, also known as Hanajihi Hani. Robert Pilot and our very own Ogama are in Washington, D.C. right now. We will be hearing from Ogama, and she's going to be bringing us news about Indigenous Peoples Day and what's happening in D.C., and Robert will join us back tomorrow. We will also have Dr. Stately on, a PhD in child psychology and the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis. And as we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for all your COVID-19 questions. But first, let's get to Ogama Gnu Okwe in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Anim Buju. How are you doing tonight, Wendy? Back in Minnesota, is the weather okay there?
The weather's been great today. We had a beautiful day, just about 70 degrees, no humidity, and sunny, and just gorgeous.
Oh, wonderful. It was cloudy and a little bit overcast here in Washington, D.C. today. We had an early morning. Today was the first day of the People versus Fossil Fuels rally at Washington, D.C. And today was the day where Indigenous water protectors, activists, and tribal leaders joined people for the first day of fossil fuel and led a march to the White House. So over 500 people marched from Freedom Plaza to the White House in Washington, D.C., and more than 135 people were arrested in an act of peaceful disobedience to demand that Biden stop fossil fuel projects and declare a climate emergency. There was some live footage from Native Roots Radio that I recorded today, that Robert recorded some today, and there'll be more photo and video coming out here as well. President Biden, when he ran for office, had promised to make tribal sovereignty and upholding the federal trust with tribal nations a priority and a cornerstone of federal Indian policy. And once elected, he has, of course, not followed through on that promise. He's not only broken his promise to tribal nations, he's also broken his promise to be a climate president. So thousands of people are taking action this week in Washington, D.C. for the People versus Fossil Fuels rally. Events will go on every day this week. So today was the Indigenous Peoples Day action. However, People versus Fossil Fuels will continue tomorrow, on October 12th, with fossil fuels are driving the climate crisis. Wednesday, October 13th, is climate chaos is happening now. Thursday, October 14th, is we need real solutions and not false promises. And Friday, the 15th, we did not vote for fossil fuels is a youth-led action. And I do have to say that they are probably right on that. You know, we have a lot of young people out here. I know Silas Neelam was one of them who is out here today. And he inspires my spirit, that young warrior. And he has been out here for so many of these events, and he has no vote. He's out here making his voice heard, and he has no vote. And there's so many of us that have been out here making our voices heard, making their voices heard on issues that are important when it comes to fossil fuels, the environment, and tribal sovereignty. And, you know, we just, again, have fallen on deaf ears. So they took it directly to the White House today, and it was incredibly powerful. Tomorrow, petitions with more than a million signatures are going to be delivered to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers with Indigenous spokespersons and supporters like Bill McKibben, who's the founder of MN350, and others who are going to be advocating for that. One of those people is John Miller, who's a Minnesota resident, and he was a decorated Navy diver who recently returned his medals to the state of Minnesota in protest of the building of Line 3. He was a diver who helped after the I-35W bridge collapse and returned his medals in protest of the building of Line 3. We know that Line 3 currently has oil pumping through it, but we also know that Line 3 will leak. So if you have not yet, or if you're still looking to get involved to help stop Line 3, or if you're looking to get involved with what comes next, which is going to be the same battle happening in Wisconsin and Michigan for Line 5, you definitely want to go to stopline3.org and keep yourself up to date there. Sign up for the mailing list. You'll get a lot of really good information on there. Today is Indigenous Peoples Day, but unfortunately here in Washington, D.C., it is still called Columbus Day and is a federal holiday. As Columbus Day, there's only a few states that actually recognize Indigenous Peoples Day as an actual holiday, and that's at a state level. But Indigenous Peoples Day is still not recognized at a federal level, despite all the call for it. And that's kind of frustrating to be here too for that Wendy.
Very frustrating. And being as in, you know, I'm Italian descent, and I grew up celebrating Columbus Day, right? Because I have Italian heritage. But once I learned that Columbus was, you know, a rapist and he killed and they brought disease to the United States, and I really truly understood the connection between Columbus and the Native American people, I did, you know, no longer celebrated him. And I'm sad as a, an Italian American, for those who still participate and celebrate Columbus. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Yes, and that is something that Matt McNeil brought up. I was on Matt McNeil's show ahead of ours earlier today, and he brought up that a lot of Italian Americans celebrate Columbus Day because they feel like it's like an Italian American day because they don't really have one of those. But you know, there are better things that we could celebrate for Italian Americans and what they brought to this country than Columbus.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
So some other really interesting stuff that happened today, too, for Indigenous Peoples Day from Native News Online. There are so many Indigenous Peoples Day events all over the country. I couldn't even believe this huge list they put together. There's events in Boulder, Cincinnati, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C. The Indigenous Peoples Day March today was mentioned. Events in Denver, Grand Rapids, Michigan, East Lansing, Michigan, New York City, San Francisco, Chicago, a lot in Michigan, 5 or 6 in Michigan, some more in San Francisco and New York. I mean, Indigenous people, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Olympia, Washington, all over the country. Just like today, there were representatives for climate justice from all over the United States here at this rally today for People versus Fossil Fuels. There was Indigenous people here from Alaska, Inuk people who came and talked about how their children are sick from the pipelines and oil extraction that's happened in Alaska over the years. There's people who came from Texas, where they have some 200 pipelines that have been installed since 2016. There are people who came from the East Coast here, where they were talking about the Mountain Valley Pipeline. There were people from down south, where the swamps are flooding and there's low tides and or high tides, excuse me. I mean, climate problems are all over the country, and it is our Indigenous and our BIPOC people that are really feeling this. So on this Indigenous Peoples Day, I want to remind you that Indigenous people have been out here fighting for this planet and for the rights for all of us and our next 7 generations to continue. And on that note, I want to wish everybody a happy Indigenous Peoples Day, I guess.
That's wonderful, Ogama. Great. Thank you so much for reporting from Washington, D.C. And we're up next, we're going to hear from our own Louis Eagle Thunder. Stay with us.
Mima Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host today, Wendy Pilot, also known as Hanaji Hihani, and that was our own Anna, Ogama's daughter, with a little cute little voice of hers. I do not have a sacred animal section today, and as I'm talking about that, my cat just runs into the room. So I just want to remind everyone that only 1 out of 10 dogs and only 1 out of 12 cats ever born finds a permanent home. 800 cats and dogs are euthanized every hour in the United States because there just aren't enough homes. So we want you to always spay and neuter your pets. And always remember to please adopt, do not shop. And with that, I'm going to bring you our own Louis Eagle Thunder. Louis, please introduce yourself in your beautiful Dakota Lakota language, please.
Thank you, Wendy, so much. And shout out to Robert and Ogma, who probably got up way early this morning to get all the video captured and everything. So shout out to both of them. I know that they're putting in some hard work today. But I want to greet everyone first. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day. Man, it's a long time coming to get here in 2021. And I want to greet my protocol greeting. Haumatakiapi, yuha chante washte. Nape cha yuza polo, ma'ina, mato watakpe, tioshpae. Wambli Wakinya Imachiapilo Louis Eagle Thunder Washicha Imachiapi Yuha Chante Washte Nape Chayuza Palo. I agree with a good heart and a warm handshake. My people come from the sacred Black Hills. I'm a citizen of the Rosebud Sioux Nation. And I'm going to tell you a couple things about Columbus Day. So, and I think we need to frame that before we talk about Indigenous Peoples Day. A lot of people really don't understand the backdrop of what created Columbus Day in the beginning. Columbus Day was actually created in 1892. And it was created by the Republican president, Benjamin Harrison, for the 400th anniversary, I guess, of Columbus's quote-unquote voyage there. But it actually drew out of a backdrop of violence. In March 1891, a jury of New Orleans acquitted 6 Italian-Americans charged with murder of a local police chief there. That spurred all kinds of anti-Italian racism in New Orleans. The next morning, thousands of people, many of them leading citizens of the Crescent City, descended on New Orleans Parish Prison, where 6 Italian defendants and 13 other Italian suspects were being held. They said, "Bring them out, kill them all, and we'll cry from 1,000 throats," they said. And they actually broke into the prison and killed some of these prisoners and avenged them. This really upset, Italian American relations when it comes to the United States. And then Secretary James Blaine awarded each of the family members $25,000 back then, which is about $760,000 per person that got attacked back then. And also proclaimed Columbus Day. Columbus Day didn't become a holiday. And this is a fun trivia fact. Until 1934 by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That is ironically the same year that he implemented the Indian Reorganization Act, which put in their constitutional governments in all 570, I think it was two federally recognized nations. And what that did is that it instituted colonial oppressive governments that were going to basically govern under self-determination these governments, tribal governments that we have today. That's why, you know, you look at tribal governments in the 574 federally recognized tribes of the United States, and they all have these constitutional governments that are non-traditional governments. So it's interesting that a proclamation of Columbus Day and the oppressive IRA government system was enacted the same year by FDR, the same man that, you know, created the New Deal and all these other things. One thing I want to definitely give a shout out to that, you know, this journey of what Indigenous Peoples Day means in 2021 is that it's came a long way, and it came from the Red Power movement in the 1960s, which birthed the American Indian movement, which birthed the occupation of Alcatraz, which birthed, you know, the movement here in Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, being in the cultural corridor. And in 1977, Russell Means and quite a number, including the International Treaty Council of American Indians, approached the United Nations and said, hey, we need to be recognized, and we need to be recognized in history. And it wasn't until 1977 that they recognized Indigenous Peoples Day. And in 1989, I give it up for the people of South Dakota. They were the first state to actually recognize Indigenous Peoples Day, or they called it Native American Day there. And at that point, it became kind of like a train that you had San Francisco and all these other small states, but it never became a federal holiday. In fact, I have a graph here from, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, an organization that it is the Decolonial Atlas, and it kind of showed kind of a grim picture of who celebrates Indigenous Peoples Day right now. And I have some statistics too. A dozen states, more than 130 local governments have chosen not to celebrate Columbus Day altogether or replace it with Indigenous Peoples Day. Many states celebrate both. 11 U.S. states celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day or a holiday similar named via proclamation, while 10 others treat it as an official holiday. The 11 states that observe the holiday via proclamation include Arizona, California, Iowa, Louisiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, North Carolina, Virginia, Wisconsin, and Washington, D.C. I kind of felt like that itchy, and what is that, that cartoon? Anyway, I can't remember right now, but it was like naming all the states. And then 10 officially celebrated include Alabama, Alaska, Hawaii, including South Dakota. Some tribal groups in Oklahoma celebrate Native American Day in lieu of Columbus Day. More than 100 cities have replaced Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. And what Indigenous Peoples Day, for those that may not know, is just, it's a recognition of not only our existence, but our resistance to 529 years of continued occupation of the Western Hemisphere. And I want to give a shout out to our Italian Americans out there. And I want to plead with you something, that this isn't a day to pit both Italian Americans and Indigenous people together, because that's what mass media wants to do. They want to say, hey, you know, this is an attack on, you know, traditionalism. This is an attack on, you know, Italian Americans. There's an Italian American explorer named Bartolomeo de las Casas. And he started out as a wealthy adventurer, just like Columbus. However, he spent 50 years fighting for equality of Indigenous people, and he wanted to right the wrongs of what Columbus did. And there was many more Italian explorers and Italian Americans eventually that fought on the right side of justice. So this isn't about this or that. This is about fighting for the right of Indigenous people to exist through Holocaust, genocide, 529 years of occupied territory. And I know, Wendy, you being an Italian American, you know, from Long Island, you know, you've probably been in the history of what Columbus Day is and how important that history is, and how, you know, Italians themselves have a different history when it comes to the United States of you know, kind of getting to the table too as well. And I kind of wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, as I was saying to Ogama, I do not celebrate Columbus Day anymore because of the atrocities that happened. And because I really understand the true history now, and I celebrate in, you know, Indigenous Peoples Day. I have a lot of Italian relatives on Facebook today that were all really saying, you know, like, you know, happy Columbus Day, happy Italian Americans Day, going on and on. I have not commented or I don't say anything about it because, you know, I really can't. So just to keep peace in the family. So I choose not to. But I think everybody needs to learn the truth. And I really appreciate the history lesson from you today, Lewis. I had no idea about, you know, when Columbus Day was actually, you know, put on the books, and that whole history. So I really, really appreciate you bringing that up. So thank
you. Yeah, and it is interesting, Wendy, that everything that the United States does in reactionary mode to something else, right? Absolutely. This was, you know, a lynching of, what was it, 9 or 6 Italian immigrants. So they decided to do something because Italy, the country of Italy, actually got mad at the United States and broke off diplomatic relationships. That's why they didn't care about Columbus. The United States didn't want to really honor anyone. And it's the same thing when it comes to Indigenous people, is that each of us, regardless of where we come from, have to, like, you know, sit here and actually be an activist towards our people and say, hey, we deserve recognition. We want to be seen. You know, when it comes to Indigenous Peoples Day, exactly what Ogma said, I looked on the Facebook events page and I couldn't believe the amount of things. There is, you know, the TP Wakan Center that Maggie Lorenz has. They have a dedication ceremony today in South St. Paul. Native Roots Radio has been involved in that, as well as many other things. This last weekend, I took my son to the Stone Arch Bridge and he played lacrosse out there. They had Indigenous Peoples Day celebration there. And I ate at Ouamani after that, which was actually really good. So it's kind of like a whole day of just being around our community. And man, I mean, I remember, you know, Wendy, I remember the 80s, 90s, there was none of that happening. So, it warms my heart. It makes me feel good that we're getting somewhere as a community. We are moving the ball forward for our children.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think a lot of people, like out east, they still celebrate Columbus Day, and we do not do that here in Minnesota. And I don't really believe that a lot of people know the true history. And I think that it's just a matter of them really knowing the truth and actually what is actually going on and why we shouldn't celebrate Columbus Day. So I really appreciate you bringing all of this into the light, and hopefully, I know I learned a lot, so I hope a lot of other people learned a lot too. And I just want to say that portion of the show was brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And up next, we have Dr. Anthony Stately, who is the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic and a PhD in child psychology. So we will be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
My grandpa Jim Warner treated his customers like family. Warner Stellion is still doing that today. I'm Angela Warner, and to thank you for 67 years, Warner Stellion is offering unbeatable savings on thousands of in-stock appliances, free delivery, and 2 years special financing to qualified buyers. Plus, go to warnerstellion.com for a $50 coupon you won't find anywhere else. These deals end October 13th, so visit us in-store or online soon. You'll love your new appliances and Warner Stellion.
Ryan here with locally owned Snap Construction. Hey, Too much snapping. I have an important message. Roofing, siding, insulation, and window material rates have come down considerably. Production is up. Best of all, there's still time to lock in one of the many great city, state, and federal home fix-up loans with rates as low as 0%. Some cities are even offering no repayment until you sell or refi. We don't expect these programs to last much longer. Snap to it and set up your no-obligation inspection quote for your roofing, siding, windows, or insulation job today. Your Snap Construction Remodel expert can lay out all the options for your roofing, siding, window, insulation project, along with all rebates, incentives, and federal, state, and city financing programs that you qualify for. Call Snap Construction today, home of the Lifetime Craftsmanship Warranty. For over the last decade, we are arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, insulation contract in the Twin Cities. Don't take our word for it. Google us. Snapconstruction.com, 612-333-SNAP.
Hello, Minneapolis. It's Randy Rhodes on your radio in the heart of the Midwest every weeknight from 10 to midnight on AM 950.
The new Line 3 tar sands crude oil pipeline threatens our water and climate.
It's the end of the tar sands party, and Enbridge wants to sell some oil. Tar sands is the dirtiest oil in the world, so they really put our Great Lakes water in peril. The environmental permitting for this process is a joke. The line was shoved down our throats, and that's wrong. And we're still fighting it, and it's brutal. They should do an environmental impact statement on this project.
Visit stopline3.org to take action.
What we want is a just transition.
Hi, this is Laura. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is home to some of the best political talk in the Twin Cities. Okay, the best political talk in the Twin Cities. We are one of the very few independent progressive radio stations in the United States. Thanks to AM 950 listeners and partners, we've stayed in business for 17 years. If you have a business or know of a business that could benefit from reaching the passionate listeners that support the advertisers on this station, send me an email, laura@am950radio.com.
I was on a road trip this summer and it happened. A truck threw a rock, chipped my windshield, and the next thing I know, I had a crack. I wasn't just going to take my vehicle to any service center. I trust Rudy Luther Toyota to take care of my car. Whether routine service, new tires, large repairs, or even a cracked windshield, Rudy Luther Toyota has the professional, courteous, trained team you need to get your vehicle back on the road fast. Scheduling online is a breeze, and their service center is wonderful with Wi-Fi and coffee. No matter your vehicle, if you need service, head to Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies overnight with a low around 56, Tuesday cloudy with a high near 65, and Wednesday rain with a high around 64. Victor's 1959 Cafe on Grand Avenue is a little piece of Cuban cuisine right in South Minneapolis. Favorites include the Ropa Vieja, sweet plantain omelet, seafood paella, and more. They're open for both indoor dining room seating and takeout orders. More at victors1959cafe.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host today, Wendy Pilot, also known as Hanajihi Hani. And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. And today is Monday, and Monday is Dr. Stately Day. Dr. Stately is a PhD in child psychology. He's the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis, and he helps us every Monday with our physical and mental health. So hello, Dr. Stately. How are you doing today?
Good. Good evening, everyone. How are you?
Yeah,
we're happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah, Robert and Ogama are Stately in Washington, D.C. What's that?
Dr. Stately Day, huh?
Happy Dr. Stately Day.
It is Dr. Stately Day. And Robert and Ogama are both in Washington, D.C. today. No, so Ogama is awesome. Here with us. Listening in, and Robert is
they're at really bougie hotels, by the way, too. Just so
if you're in DC, you got to do the DC thing.
Yeah, stay
bougie. There were only so many options nearby where we needed to be. Okay, this is not. I feel a little out of place here.
I can imagine. Where are you guys staying at? Are you like near the Capitol?
DuPont? Yeah, we're pretty near the Capitol. We're not too far off. We're actually right next to Black Lives Matter Plaza, which is nice.
I saw a picture of Robert in front of the Robert E. Lee statue? Or what statue was that he was in front of?
I'm not sure which one he posted. We did go to the Lincoln Memorial today.
Nice.
So it may have been that one. I'm not sure. Is it the one that reads the one that was vandalized?
Yeah,
expect us. Yes. Yeah. Yep. So one of the, I guess I didn't cover that in the news today because I feel like most people seen it on social media, but a statue in the park today in front of the White House was vandalized overnight with the words expect us in red and red handprints all around it. So if you haven't seen expect us yet, make sure to go take a look at some of those pictures there. Yeah. A lot of really great photographers taking photos of that now.
Yeah. It's foreboding.
So exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I love DC. I mean, there's what isn't there to love about DC, but you know, a good protest in DC has to be fun too. So,
Yeah, I've never been to DC. I definitely have to get there. I have never been, and in all my 60 years, it's unbelievable. People are surprised at that, but it's the truth.
Yeah, there's some really great things to go and do there, and great pieces of history. Some of it not always accurate, but you know.
We see a lot of that inaccuracy.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, you see it across the United States everywhere. So it's like, why not DC as well?
Absolutely.
But yeah, I haven't been there since before I had kids. So someday I want to take my kids there.
Mm-hmm. Kind
of take them to the mall, show them the museum. The museum's pretty amazing. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So how are you, Dr. Stately? How have you been?
Well, my kid is a little under the weather. He's had this horrible cough for like 2 weeks. I've had him tested 2 weeks in a row. He's negative. His test always comes back negative. He's also negative for strep, even though he has like, this is his second week in a row where he starts the week with a really severe sore throat, and then he tests negative for strep. So it's kind of a little bit of a conundrum for me, but I'm taking him back to the doctor tomorrow, and you know, I'll figure it out.
Is he able to do what he normally does, or is he, you know, have to stay home?
I mean, he's not like, you know, he gets bad. I mean, you know, I think the biggest thing that the biggest concern I have, you know, I mean, I was hospitalized for COVID, and I remember what it felt like to not be able to breathe, right? And he would kill me for saying this publicly and letting everybody know, but this is the boy that still sleeps with me at 14 years old. You know, he's kind of like a little daddy. He's still a daddy's boy. Like, he loves me, but he's,
I love that.
You know,
I think that's sweet.
And, but I can hear him like, you know, struggling sometimes for breath, like not struggling, but like, you know, the rattling of his chest. I can hear like how deep his cough. So I just talked to him today when I dropped him off for school. He's still insisted on going to school, so he's a good student. But he was like, I said, you got to go in. We're going to take you in tomorrow and get some imaging done on your lungs because I want to know what's going on with your lungs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and remember, I think all of you all know that like exactly this time last year, we sort of like within like the next 3 weeks, we all got COVID, right? And so, and I know that there's, you know, scarring and stuff like that happens to people's lungs as a result of COVID. So I just got to take them in and be a little bit more persistent with my provider and say, like, you know, get me some pictures of his lungs. I want to see what's going on with his lungs.
Yeah, definitely. You want to make sure that there isn't any inflammation. Go ahead, Ogoma.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, Dr. Stately, I've heard some rumors that RSV is really bad this year. And there's been some reports in the area I live. I live near Mille Lacs Reservation. There's been some reports that has been hard hitting this year, RSV and the flu. Did that put a damper on your family's Indigenous Peoples Day celebrations, or were you just going to stay home?
This morning I chose to stay home and be close to him instead of going to the sunrise ceremony, which you know, a lot of the folks in Minneapolis, a lot of the MUD leadership and a few other people were like having a ceremony, sunrise ceremony at Bede Makoska on Thomas Beach. And, you know, I got up early though. I made some coffee. I sat out on my back porch and kind of greeted the sun with them. And so I was there in spirit, but, you know. But, yeah, I would have like probably done some other things had I not had to deal with his illness. And it's so disappointing and frustrating because I try to have conversation with him about like how to show up and be a good relative, like, you know, and he's like, nobody in the entire school wears masks, you know, and he told me that one of his teachers made a comment in the class where he's like, well, we're all going to get COVID eventually, so what's the point, kind of a thing. And I was like, more than just a little bit pissed about that comment, you know, and so I'm planning on talking to the teacher about it. But also, like, my perspective is like, you know, whether you agree or not, like, so when you're in a professional role, right, you're in a professional role as a doctor, as a lawyer, a teacher, an instructor, somebody who's helping to develop young minds, right? Like, you have a responsibility to sort of, like, you know, think more, you know, thoughtfully and tactfully about the way you use language and the things that you tell young people, right? You're cultivating not just their understanding of the textbook knowledge you're giving to them, but you're trying to teach them to be critical learners or two, right? And you're also helping to shape who they are going to become. And, you know, to not, like, use that opportunity to say, like, to have a critical conversation, right? And help them think through, like, how to make a better choice was just really, quite frankly, it pissed me off. So
I'm glad you're going to be talking to that teacher about, you know, what that teacher should have said to the teacher.
And I'm also going to talk to the principal.
Yep. Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. And what would you say to them? What would you say?
Well, I think what I'll do is I know the principal. I've met with him in the past. I've been on the American Indian Parent Advisory Committee for 5 years. This year, I'm just kind of in an advisory role. I'm not in any leadership role, but I was the chair of the American Indian Parent Advisory Committee at the APEC for 3 years before I stepped off a little over a year ago now. Right about the time that COVID, I felt so bad about the person I handed off to because, you know, they took over right when kind of COVID hit. So, but I think, you know, he knows me. He knows I'm going to be direct with him. And he knows that I'm been direct with pretty much all of the administrators that I work with in my kids' schools out here in Prior Lake. And I've shown up and, you know, demanded explanations. I've shown up and said, you know, there was one time when my kids were in middle school, they were in fourth grade, and the fifth grade students had to do a big book report, and everybody has to do this project, this book report. And there was the fifth graders put up posters of a book that they read. One of the kids who, you know, I don't remember, doesn't matter who the kid is, but there was a non-native kid, wrote his report, and his poster was on the Island of the Blue Dolphins, right? And there's a piece of the book that, if you've never read the book, there's like a part of the book that isn't even, like, that deals with native people and this idea of, like, them killing the blue dolphins. And this kid had drawn a poster with like an Indian on the top, you know, it's kind of looked like, he probably looked like an image of Sitting Bull because that's what the image looked like, and it said wanted across the top for killing the blue dolphins. And it said in fine writing, you know, a despicable human being or something like that. Anyway, it was kind of like some really unsavory things said about the kid, said about this person in the book. And that, this is what the kid drew from the reading the book, right, in fifth grade. And it's like, for me, when I was walking down the hallway, it stopped me dead in my tracks, right? And I was like, I looked at it and I was like, oh, hell no. So I went and talked to the fifth grade pod, and I also had to talk to the principal at one point in time. I said, you need to take this down. And they're like, well, so, you know, the kid will feel bad. I said, because he created it. And what kind of message is that sending? I was like, it doesn't really matter what message it's sending to the kid. You can have a conversation with him about his ideology and how he arrived at this idea for creating this thing. I said, and if you have challenges with that, I'll be happy to help you with that conversation. I'm a child psychologist. More importantly, my kid has to walk past that poster several times a day, lunch, recess, a few other things. And this is not a good thing to be seeing, an image that looks like them with the words wanted, dead or alive, underneath it. I said, have you read Minnesota history? So it was like just challenging. So I've done those kinds of things with my kids as teachers and leadership. And so they know how I'm going to show up. And my kids are like, you know, sometimes they cringe. They're like, oh, Dad, please don't go there. Right?
They will appreciate that later on, and you know that, right?
Well, yeah, but I also try to help them to understand, like, I have a responsibility to do that, not just because of you. Like, there are other Native kids that are going there. Long after you leave there, there are going to be other Native kids that come to that school. I have a responsibility to show up as a good relative and demand justice and demand, like, they do something to change this narrative. It's like, you know, that's a responsibility that we all share if we're Indigenous, right? Not just on Indigenous Peoples Day, but every single day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah. Anyway, I'll see what it, I'll let you know next week what it feels like to show up and say something to the principal.
Yeah, so. We'll definitely want to hear about what happened and what their response was, you know. I really love to hear that. Do you have time to be with us for another segment, Dr. Stately?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host today, Wendy Pilot, also known as Hanaji Hiahani. In the house, Louis Eagle Thunder, Ogama Ganuo Kwe, Dr. Stately. Robert will be back tomorrow. We'll be back with Dr. Stately. Stay with us.
The new Line 3 tar sands crude oil pipeline threatens our water and climate.
It's the end of the tar sands party, and Enbridge wants to sell some oil. Tar sands is the dirtiest oil in the world, so they really put our Great Lakes water in peril. The environmental permitting for this process is a joke. The line was shoved down our throats, and that's wrong. And we're still fighting it, and it's brutal. They should do an environmental impact statement on this project.
Visit stopline3.org to take action.
What we want is a just transition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host today, Wendy Pilot. Robert is in Washington, D.C. with Ogama, and we have Louis Eagle Thunder here with us. And we're talking with Dr. Stately, and we're just talking about what's going on. And I wanted to say hi to Nancy. And Nancy, thank you for your comment, and I'm really happy that you're feeling better. Really appreciate it. And Nancy always says, hey, get your COVID vaccine. And she really feels that it, you know, really saved her from when she got COVID and her symptoms weren't as bad. And if she did not have the vaccine, she feels that she would have been much worse, and she probably would have. So welcome back, Dr. Stately. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Thanks a lot.
I got a quiet voice after all the yelling today. There was a lot of chanting.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate it. And Ogama, welcome back, Dr. Stately. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I do have a question for Dr. Stately, Wendy.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Louis.
So, you know, in the state of Minnesota, I think we have something like 730,000 or 740,000 people that had COVID at one point, right? And I think we have something like 3,000 hospitals right now. I know Merck said that they want to come out with like a pill, and they're asking the FDA for that. I'm wondering maybe you could talk a little bit about that and what the future of COVID is, you know, we always say this, you know, especially when you get sick, you go in the hospital, they say, you know, you're dealing with a new normal, especially when something catastrophic happens, right? And I think with COVID, as a world, we're dealing with a new normal. Wouldn't you say that?
For sure. I think it's first of all, I want to clarify your first comment. So in the state of Minnesota, we've had about 738,000 some odd cases of COVID-19 since the beginning of the pandemic in Minnesota. So about a quarter, three quarters of a million cases. We've had roughly 8,000 or so deaths by COVID, from COVID. And one of the things I wanted to take a really quick opportunity to say something specific here to the listeners in Minnesota is the Minnesota, the state of Minnesota has done an amazing job. This administration has done an amazing job, by the way, of making sure that the health department, social service agencies, and those kinds of folks, Department of Health Services, or Department of Human Services, rather, that funds a lot of healthcare services, disaggregate their data and show the rates of impacts of things, diseases, and a number of other things on hard to identify or marginalized communities. So we've done a great job over the last couple of years doing that, reporting that data. And within this context of COVID, we've done an amazing job with reporting the impact on Native people across the state. So we have, I get weekly reports from the state of Minnesota State Health Department on COVID numbers. And one of the things I just wanted to say was that, you know, we had between last week and this week, we had 575 more cases, 525 rather, sorry, 525 additional cases of COVID from last week to this week. And we had 8 more deaths. And that doesn't seem like it's significantly impactful. Like you'd think, oh, like, well, that's not a whole lot. But when you think about the size of the Native American community generally, like we're less than 2% of the population of the state, right? And so to lose, you know, between a jump of 5% of cases and death rate that's around 5% as well from one week to the next, that's substantial, right? That's significant. I think those are the things I kind of wanted to make sure that people understand the impact that it's having in our community still, and help people to understand the importance of getting a vaccine, because we do see significant evidence that when you get a vaccine, you're less likely to get seriously ill, hospitalized, and you're much less likely to die, right? Specifically within this context of this new Delta variant, which is very virulent. But I do think also, so that to answer your other question, I think, yes, we are in a new normal of like how I think we will be living at least at minimum for the next, you know, couple of years. There's, there's the prevalent conversation, I think, in among health leadership is that this will be something we're living with for at least a couple of years, right? And we are likely to have additional pandemics. One of the things that's interesting about this one specific pandemic is that, you know, we were ill prepared for it because we got comfortable and we believed as a society that we had done everything that we needed to do. So we, you know, our past leadership, our past president dismantled things that helped us to prepare for that, like, you know, cut off the funding for research and things like that that would support our ability to actually track something of this nature and then to respond in an appropriate way. So I think I'm hoping that, you know, what we've learned over the last, you know, 19, 20 months of this specific situation, you know, which is now an international situation, is that we have learned, you know, not to let our guard down, to be, you know, really thoughtful and intentional about making sure that we're taking care of, you know, our tracking information, taking care of and protecting our not just our resident, not just our citizens, but citizens of the world, right? What this pandemic taught us significantly is that we are all related to each other, right? In very, you know, real ways. And if we don't do a better job of being a global citizen on top of being American citizens, on top of being citizens of our oyates and our nations, right? We have a responsibility to do that, because the choices I make has an impact on every single person on the planet. We might not see it. It might not be visible to us, but that doesn't mean it isn't there, right? And we as Indigenous people know a lot about things that aren't there, right, that are real. So anyway.
That's excellent. It's really important for people to hear what you just said, and I think that it's really important. The craziest thing I just heard this week is that someone told me that they heard from many people that they are not getting vaccinated because the migrants coming from Mexico have a choice whether they could or not get vaccinated. And they are so upset about that because they think it should be mandated that they're not getting vaccinated. And my response was, and I can't remember how you exactly say it, but isn't that biting off your nose to spite your face, that type of thing? Like, why wouldn't you get vaccinated? Why would you not get vaccinated because you're worried about the migrant people? And I actually looked up numbers, and they're actually getting vaccinated at a higher rate than American people who already live here. Mm-hmm. So that's something as well. But what would you say to people like that? you might not be able to say it
professionally.
Are you asking me like what I'd say to them professionally, or if I'm having coffee with them?
Right. I guess professionally.
Well, professionally I would say, like, you know, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, that type of response to me is embedded in a significant amount of moral and psychological pathology, right? It's like, it's embedded, really, quite frankly, in xenophobia, right? So, like, it's interesting that they called specifically out the immigrants, right? And what better opportunity than to take today on Indigenous Peoples Day to remind everybody that if you're not Indigenous, you are essentially an immigrant. you are your parents or your grandparents or your great grandparents. You are all immigrants, right? So, you know, I might suggest that they seek some therapy, because they certainly have some psychological problems if that's their thought process. It doesn't make a lot of sense, actually, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me either. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we will be right back tomorrow, and Robert Pilot will be here. Come back with us.